One of D.L. Moody's favorite verses of scripture was Isaiah 12:2 that said, "I will trust and not be afraid." Moody used to say, you can travel first class or second class to heaven. Second class travel says, when I'm afraid, then I will trust. First class travel says, I will trust and not be afraid. Moody used to say it's far better to trust first class than second class. The truth is, there are times when we are afraid. In fact, in this very book of Psalms we read, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in thee. In God I've put my trust, I shall not be afraid. There are times when we faced intimidating and threatening situations, and in those moments, we need to rekindle our trust in God. We need to place our confidence totally and completely and only in God. If we do that, we'll discover our trust in the Lord. We'll not fail. We will discover that we have some very unusual and special blessings that God only gives to people who completely trust him. So Psalm 125 is a psalm of ascents. It's a psalm that's aimed at Israel. And one of the things that she will eventually proclaim as she ascends to the temple to worship will be all of the blessings she's received because she finally trusted God and his word. There'll come a day when she will have learned this lesson. So when God's people trust in God totally and completely for their security, they will discover that God will bless them in many wonderful and positive ways. And that word trust in Hebrew is betach. This word carries with it the idea of setting your hope and confidence upon someone to the point that you are assured and secure in what you place your trust. Now, the particular point of this word is not just any type of trust or hope. It's a hope and confidence that rests secure in the object of the trust. The trust that is described in this psalm is a trust of certainty. The writer knew one could trust God. He had trusted God and had seen God do amazing things. And secure trust in the Lord is what leads to great blessings. And there's a couple of themes that are developed in this psalm. First of all, God will bless those who trust him. Now, the point of this is to motivate God's people to have total and complete trust in God. Most will tell you that the key to positive blessings is that you trust in yourself and your works. The key to God's blessings is to trust in the Lord. So let's look at these blessings. First of all, God will make his trusting people like Mount Zion. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Mount Zion was the mount upon which the temple sat. It's not the highest mountain range that surrounds Jerusalem. To the east of Mount Zion is the Mount of Olives. To the north of Mount Zion is Mount Scopus. To the west of Mount Zion and to the south of Mount Zion are mountains that are all higher than Mount Zion. However, Micah 4:1 predicts that Mount Zion will one day be raised to be the highest mountain upon which the temple will sit. So when the writer uses this illustration, he has some key comparison points of view. What he's promising is these comparisons. His people will have an exalted loftability like Mount Zion. See, one day Israel will be raised up and will be seen as the exalted and honored nation of God. We see that in Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. Israel will be seen and known as the great nation of God. She'll be high and lifted up. And those who trust in the Lord are destined for great honor. His people will have immovability like Mount Zion. People who trust in God are stable people. They're not fickle. They cannot be swayed or shaken. They have an entrenched and settled stability to them, just like a mountain. His people will have survivability like Mount Zion. People who trust in God will survive. They'll live and abide forever. There may be many threats and intimidations. There may be some scars and wounds, but they will be like a tree planted by water and not be able to shake them. And some people are like the sand. They're shifting. Some people are like the sea, tossed to and fro. Some people are like the wind. There's an uncertainty and an inconsistency. But those who trust in God are like mountains, very secure and very stable. But then we see that God will surround and protect his people like the mountains that surround Jerusalem. Look at verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. As we've already mentioned, Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. Those mountains have always given a sense of assurance and protection to Israel. For example, when David wanted to escape to a place to hide and be protected, he fled to those mountains. And God is making a wonderful promise to Israel, and that is there will come a day when they will be totally and completely secure forever because he personally will protect them. He will shelter them and surround them like the mountains of Israel. The time when this will happen will be when Jesus Christ returns to Israel and establishes his kingdom. Israel will be seen as the nation of God. And then God will purify his trusting people from any wickedness to total righteousness. Look at verse 3. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. The metaphor of the scepter is that which pictures something that rules or reigns, and the promise is that God will not allow wickedness to rule and reign over his people who completely trust in him. Wicked people can put pressure on God's people and make life miserable, but God will not ever permit them to rule or reign over his people. There's a profound theology in this verse. Any believer who plunges into wickedness is permitted by God to do so, and what that means is that God has removed his protective grace because that one did not totally and completely trust him. Any person who trusts in the security of himself is destined for a serious fall, but one who trusts totally and completely in him is destined to rich and wonderful blessings. In order for a guitar string to sound right, it cannot be too loose or too tight. It must be just right. It must have just the right tension. And that is what God does with his people. He gives them just the right tension, not too tight, not too loose. And then God will do good things for those who trust him. Look at verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. God will personally do good things for those who trust him, those for whom he classifies as good. Now, since God says in both the Old Testament, Psalm 14:1, and the New Testament, Romans 3:12, that none are good, what does that mean? To be good in God's estimation, one must trust in God and be cleansed by his grace. Carefully observe what is said in verse 4. God looks at one's heart. God looks into the heart and sees whether or not one is trusted in him and whether or not one is after that which is good and upright in the heart. So important. God does not just look at the action, he looks at the heart. The merit or worth or goodness or righteousness is not determined by the action itself, but by the heart. And those who trust God in their hearts and have a desire to please God with their lives will discover that God will do wonderful and good things for them. And then God will grant peace to those who trust him. Verse 5 talks about, but those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. And that last part, when Israel finally comes to a place where she trusts in Jesus Christ, she'll have the peace she longs for. Same is true for individuals. There's no greater peace than one can have than a peace that knows one is right with God. And God will destroy those who turned aside from trusting him. We see that in the first part of verse 5. There were those in Israel who knew they should totally trust in God, but they had turned aside from that and started trusting in themselves and in idols and in other nations. God warns his people that if they do not trust him, he will let them go in their own crooked ways and lead them to destruction. People who do not trust in Christ will all end up in the same place. They'll end up in hell with all the doers of iniquity, and those who trust in the Lord have salvation, and those who do not have condemnation.